Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Come on and open your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And that's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, beginning at verse 19. How many know that God is good? How many know that God is good? How many know that he's good? Isn't he good? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, beginning at verse 19. Hallelujah. And the word of God reads, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I want to talk about the choice is yours. The choice is yours. God has given us choices in life. And when he give us a choice, that means that he give us the right to choose. And I was asking God, I said, God, I said, I appreciate you giving me a choice. I appreciate you giving me the right to choose. But God, don't you think it would be easier for me, and I know easier for others, if you just make that choice for me? And then when I began to think about that thing, God began to minister to me, and he said, if I made a choice for you, that would be my choice. That would not be you wanting to do it. I'm like, wow. He said, so I give you the opportunity to make that choice to see where you are. So God has given all of us choices in life, and he has given us the right to choose. But in Deuteronomy 30 verse 90, he tells us what to choose. And that's what's so awesome about God. God does not leave us in darkness. God give us illumination, and he give us light through his word, and God want us to make the right choice, and that right choice is in him. But one thing about God is he does not force his hand, and this is why God is bringing this message today, because I believe some of us in this room is still saying, God, if you want me to do this, God, give me a sign. God, if you want me to do that, God, show me something to let me know what you want me to do. I'm here to tell you everything and every answer that we will ever need for God is in the Word of God. If you would just take the time to open up the Word, when you're asking God something, God will reveal it through his Word, and that's just how much God loves us. Sometimes we lay around in our stupor, and we're waiting for God to drop the money for heaven, or we're waiting for God, God, if you can just come down and you can just touch me, I'll rise up off my bed of affliction. But God give us choices in every area of our lives. He give us the right to choose. And this is what the Lord was sharing with me to bring it down to earth. Even with our children, as they're growing up, you know, at some point we have to make choices for them, until they get to a certain age. But how many know they start out little and they know what they're doing? And they choose to do what they do. Have y'all noticed my little two-year-old granddaughter? She knows what she's doing. And then she chooses to do what she's doing, and it's up to us to tell her, no, that's not right. This is what you do. This is the that you do it. So God always puts someone in your life to help you to make those right choices. That's just how much he loves us. But as I was saying about these choices, I look at when it comes to relationships and women, how we want men to love us. And we want those men to love us the way we want to be loved. But if we're trying to tell them how to love us, we're not giving them the right choice to make in knowing how to love us. Because some women will approach a man and say, you don't love me because you haven't sent me any flowers, or you hadn't done this, or you hadn't done that. So we're trying to make that man love us by what that man give us. But we should allow that man to love us the way he needs to love us and not the way that we think we need to be loved. There are so many choices in life that when we make the wrong choice, it does not only affect us, but it affects the whole household. How many know that's an amen? So God took me back, and as he was showing me about giving them a choice of blessings and curses and life and death, but then he said, choose life, because God knows that the life that we choose is in him. And everything that we need, God has already provided it in him. And in order to get what God has provided, we have to be in him. Even though it's already ours, even though God has already given it to us and we didn't deserve it, we have to be in him to benefit from what he has already provided. So he loved them so much, he's telling them there's blessings, there's cursing. There's life and there's death, but wow, God says, choose life. So he's telling us what to choose. And if we would follow God's instructions instead of trying to be a Miss Know-It-All or a Mr. Know-It-All, come on, we got some Mr. and Mrs. Know-It-Alls in the house. Come on, because I was one of those Miss Know-It-Alls, think that I thought that I knew everything until I fell flat on my face and had to go through from the choice that I made. So we have to commit ourselves unto the Lord, trust also in him, knowing that he shall bring it to pass. Y'all, the good thing about God is that I love is God is all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. He knows everything about you. But the thing that hurts so much when it comes to me, I don't know about you, sometimes I'll get in a mood where I think that I know what's best for me. Because sometimes we can go through certain things in our lives that we don't want to wait on God. Hey, what about you? I don't want to wait on God to fix this. I'm hurting too bad. I want this to get over quick, fast, in a hurry. So I'm listening more to the enemy when I know God told me to choose his way. But yet I'm saying, God, I'm hurting too bad to wait on the Lord because you told me to wait on you. You told me to be of a good courage. But I'm not of a good courage right now, God. You've given me the right to choose. But do you know how much pain I'm in right now? God, I don't even want to be bothered with that. So, God, why don't I just take this right here and deal with this? At least it'll knock me out for a while, and I don't have to deal with it. But how many know when you make that choice, you might not wake up? You might wake up to something that you did not want to wake up to. So that's why everything that we choose, the choices that we should make, it should be in him. So when God was taking me to the word, through the word of God, he took me right back to the beginning. I'm telling you, y'all, everything you need starts right in Genesis. This is where it started, was in the beginning. God created heaven and earth. And everybody know how the earth was. It was void. It was full of darkness. There was no light there. And we know that God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. And that's just how we were before we came to God. It was like we was in darkness. But as we accepted God, then that darkness, the light expelled that darkness, and we became a good thing. And one thing that I like, in Genesis it said after God had completed his creation, the Bible said that everything that God created was good. So that means that it was no darkness in it. There was no evil in it. Everything he created was good. But then when he got to man, we see what he did with man. He blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became spirit, soul, and body. But then God placed man. See, God chose you And he puts you in paradise to be over everything that he has created. See, God looked at us differently from all creation. He didn't only do that, but he gave us right and he gave us authority over what he has created. Isn't that special? God chose us. We didn't choose ourselves. So he gave us that authority and that right to rule and to reign on earth. We had such privileges, meaning that even with the animals, we had dominion over them. They had to follow our rule. And then I love how God said he made male and he made female. He didn't make all male and had no female. He made male and female for a purpose. And the purpose that he made them for was to reproduce, was to come together. But God didn't leave no gaps in there. He meant for them to come together as one, as being married. And he's telling them, he said, I want you to replenish the earth. So he's telling them what he wants them to do. They had dominion, they had rights. He said, I want you to replenish the earth. He said, I want you to be in control here, down here on earth. And one thing I love about God, y'all, he's not going to put us in a place without equipping us for the place we're in. God knew that we had to be in this world when sin entered. But let me back up. After God done all of this, now remember when God created man, it said he created Adam. That was not only Adam, but it was woman inside of Adam. So when he created that one man, it was still a woman inside of that one man. And y'all know he placed the man in the garden. Now, Apostle, he didn't only give Adam instructions. He gave a woman instructions that was on the inside of Adam. Because when you look up Adam, what does it say? They say that, they're one. So when you look up Adam, he's not only talking to the man, but he's talking to the woman as well. So y'all know he placed him in that garden to dress that garden and to keep that garden, meaning that he wanted him to watch over what he had created. Adam didn't have to do nothing but to be in the garden, Manny, and watch over and to guard what God had created. He had right to it. He had dominion to it. Can you imagine God say, everything that I have, Adam, it's yours. I'm placing it in your hands, and I want you to watch over what I have given you. But then God began to tell Adam. See, this is how a father does. I don't know about your father, but I know about mine. They will give you a command. They will tell you what you need to do, and they'll tell you what you don't need to do. Doesn't parents do that? And sometimes we don't want to hear what they're saying on these do's and don'ts, because how many know that we already got our mind made up and we're listening, but it's going in one ear and it's coming out the other, and we're saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, and you already know you're going to sneak out. You already know what you're going to do, but you're listening to them to make them think that you're hearing, right? So we look at Adam, and God told Adam, he said, every tree that's in this garden, you can eat of that tree. God gave him a command. That was a rule, a commandment. He gave him a rule. So then he said, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree that's of knowledge of good and evil, he said, you can't eat of that tree. He said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Did God not give man a choice? He gave him a right to choose, did he not? And I'm like, wow, God, you're going to put me in paradise, and then you're going to slap a tree in front of me, and you're going to tell me not to touch that tree, but it's right there, not to eat from that tree. You said every tree I can eat from except that tree. So Adam knew what God told him not to do. He said, these are the consequences behind you eating from something I'm telling you not to eat from. He said, you shall surely die. I'm telling you, that was a promise. That does not mean that he was going to die a physical death. That means he was going to die a spiritual death. So y'all know that the enemy always have a way of coming in and taking what God has created and taking what's good and turning it around for the bad. But the word says that what the enemy means for your harm, God will turn it around, and he'll make it for your good. So I want to encourage you today, whatever the enemy has meant for your harm, I'm here to tell you that that God has already turned it around and made it for your good. It doesn't matter what situation you may be in, your husband may be in, your children may be in. God will take what the enemy meant for harm, and he'll turn it around, and he'll make it for the good. How do I know? Because God always have a plan, because he's God. He's all-knowing. He already knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you that God has already fixed it. He's already worked it out. He's already taken care of it. You don't have to try to work it out yourself. The only thing you need to do is lean and depend on him and to cast all your cares upon him, because the Bible said he cares for you. So the devil knew. He said, okay, they got dominion, they got right, they got rule. He knew that he couldn't have it, and the only way he could get it was through Adam and Eve. So he came into that garden, and he chose something that God had created, which was a serpent. He chose that serpent. That serpent allowed him to use him to tempt Eve. So we know what he did to tempt her. He put something that God told her not to touch. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how it is. If your parents never tell you not to touch it, you wouldn't bother with it. Is that not right? But as soon as they tell you not to touch it, rebellion kick in. Why does rebellion kick in? Because when you're not born again, you have a controlling force on the inside of you, which is a sin nature. Oh, I'm going to break it down today, because some people, you know, they don't know the reason why they keep doing what they're doing and why they do what they do. So we see that the enemy came in, the same tree that God told her not to eat from. She knew that she did not supposed to eat it. And matter of fact, Eve said, we can't even touch it. And I believe Eve put that in there because she said, if I touch it, I know I'm going to take that fruit and I'm going to begin to eat it. So in her mind, she said, I'm not even going to touch it. And the awesome thing about God is, y'all, he created us not only as spirit beings, but he created us with a soul. That soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. I thank God for the soul. And I'm going to tell you why I thank God for the soul, because I got some feelings, y'all. I can feel hurt, Steve, when somebody hurt me. I can feel excited when something happened in my life that is beyond me. So God gave you feelings so you'll be able to feel when something was happening. Can you imagine someone that could not feel, that had no emotions? You know, when it was time to cry, when it was time to laugh, when it was time to do anything. Men, could you imagine not having no feelings when it comes to a woman? See, God knew what he was doing. Y'all should give God glory. Oh, don't act like you in church. Don't act like you in church, because you know God give you feeling. If he didn't give you feeling when a woman walked by you, it wouldn't be nothing. But God knew what he was doing, women, when it comes to men. But there were some stipulations on those feelings. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyhow. See, the thing is, we have a right to choose, Brother Carlton. We got a right to choose whether to go after that woman or to put up a stop sign. God said you got to flee fornication. And there's a reason for fleeing such things. Why? Because there are repercussions behind what you don't flee. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So God was in that garden. He knew what they were going to do, y'all. God already knew what was going to happen in that garden before it happened, because he's all-knowing. And understand that God already had a plan. So we know that they ate of that fruit. He had to put it before their eyes. That's why the Bible said all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That means that the enemy know that if we can covet things, things that we never thought about before, y'all, why do you think they have them on television? Why do you think they have them in stores? Because God has created us with a soul. He has created us with feelings and emotions. So as people begin to talk to us about certain things that we never knew about before, we get that feeling like James Brown, right? We get that feeling. So what we do is we go after those things because we are so emotionalized, because we begin to think about those things. See, God knows what he's doing, but he also set a plan in place to let you know what not to do when you're having these these certain feelings outside of his word. So we see that they ate of that tree, and y'all know what happened. The Bible says that after they were coming together in marriage, it says that they were naked, y'all, and they were not ashamed. They walking around naked, butt naked, and not ashamed. Why? Because they were one. They were not ashamed of being together because they were one flesh. Remember, Adam said, this is flesh of my flesh. This is bone of my bone. I'm leaving my father and my mother, and I'm going to cleave unto my wife. That means there's no other woman but this woman, which is Eve, the mother of all living things. So that's what Adam said. So they were naked. But the moment that they ate from that tree, that forbidden fruit, immediately sin entered. How do we know that sin entered? Because God would be there with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. You know, God would walk and talk with them. It was no problem with their nakedness. They were before God. And I believe that they were clothed so much in his glory, in his righteousness, that they didn't pay no attention to how naked they were. But when sin entered the world, oh my God, they began to run for their life. Oh! Now, that's his wife, y'all. Oh, I'm naked. And they became ashamed. Why? Because that's when guilt came in. That's when, come on now, when you do something that's wrong, the first thing that hits you is guilt. Why? Because the enemy got something on you. So this is what they tried to do. They got them some, I guess it was the fig leaves, one of the trees. Now they got an opportunity to say, Eve, we're going to get the figs and cover ourselves up. Because they were ashamed. And God said, Adam, where are you? He said, God, when I heard you coming, he said, I became afraid. And I hid myself because I was naked. What am I trying to tell you? Sin will hide. Sin will hide. And see, we try to cover ourselves up when we sin. Is that not right? That's what you call self-righteousness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you do something that you know ain't right, you try to cover it up. And I mean, you dig a hole so deep because you feel like ain't nobody going to find this body. Ain't nobody going to check in these woods. But I'm telling you that blood will cry from the ground. I don't care where your secret is. God already know what you did. Done it. And that secret is going to come alive. So they tried to cover themselves. They tried to cover, you know, themselves so they can take care of themselves, meaning that I don't have to depend on God no more, apostle. I can do this on my own. That's what you call self-righteousness, meaning that I can handle this. So they tried to cover themselves. And y'all know the consequences behind what they done, meaning that they became spiritually dead. What does it mean to become spiritually dead? God created them, spirit, soul, and body. Every part of them, there was no sin in that garden. None. But when they disobeyed God, sin entered, and the spirit, the life of God left, and the born-again spirit that they had, the spirit that God created them with, became dead. What did it come to? Sin, dead to sin. So this is what happened in that garden. So the Lord began to show me that through doing what the enemy wants us to do, through making the wrong choices, guess what happened? One man. Through one man, sin entered. It only took one. Have y'all ever thought about that? It could be one bad apple in this church. One rotten apple or spoil the whole bunch. The enemy don't need nothing but one person to run their mouth to get something started. That's all he needs. He don't need nothing but one person to start something. And then when they grab somebody else, it runs rapid through the church. That's why God give us choices to say, when you have aught against your brother, you go to your brother. He's giving you the choice. He's giving you the right choice. That's why we have to stay in the word of God in order to make the right choices. And when you make the right choices, you live a life, an abundant life, a Zoe life, a life that's free of secrets, that's free of guilt, that's free of condemnation. How many feel so good when the enemy ain't got nothing on you? when you got a slate, even when somebody's telling a lie on you, and you know it's still all good, because I know who I am in God. I don't have to worry about what man say. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. So let them talk all they want to talk, because I choose life today. I choose to walk in the Spirit, and then he also gives you a choice of flesh and spirit. He said to be fleshly minded is what? Death. That's carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So he gives you a choice whether you want to be fleshly or whether you want to be spiritually. And he's talking to the born again folk. He said, I'm giving you that choice. So then God began to take me through the Bible and show me even some people that had to make choices. It started from the Garden of Eden, did it not? And sin entered through that one man. And what happened when sin entered? Death passed upon the whole human race. Because the wages of sin is death. Y'all, this is for real. See, this is why God wants us to choose life. This is why God wants us to choose heaven and not choose hell. Because hell was not made for us. This is why we got to tell people the goodness concerning Jesus Christ, the goodness on what he has done, so they would choose the right path, so they would choose the narrow road, not the wide road. The wide road leads to what? Destruction. But the narrow road leads to what? Everlasting life. And y'all know when a road is narrow, my God, you got to know how to walk along that narrow road. Because if you don't walk the way God wants you to walk, you can come off that road. But how many choose a wide road? I don't know about you, but when I'm driving, give me the biggest road you can. Don't put me on no narrow road, because I feel like I'm closed in. I might start shaking and tell my husband I got to pull over. So we always want to choose the right path. And God gives us the right path through his word. So God began to show me through his word the choices. Come on, y'all. Abraham had a choice, right? God gave him a choice. The choice was to leave what he was familiar with and to go to a place that he was not familiar with. How many of us would give up what we're familiar with to go to a place we're not familiar with? Come on, you have to have a relationship with God. I was reading up on this man that became a missionary. This man was in school, and I believe he was on his last year of completing his studies to be a doctor. Y'all know it takes, what, 8 years or longer to be a doctor? But he was on his last year, and he also had a fiance that he had asked to marry him. But all of a sudden, it was a tug in his heart to be a missionary. So he had to choose between his studies, and he had to choose between his fiance, and he had to choose between living a missionary life. That means that he couldn't take that fiance with him. He had to go by himself because she wasn't connected with what he was connected with. So he left. He chose to go into China, and he chose to minister the word of God over there in China. So when he got in China, he began to dress like they did. He began to take on what they took on, but he taught them the good news, the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, he ended up writing books. He ended up, people end up to get converted because he made the right choice. And as he finished doing what God was telling him to do over there, guess what? He met a woman. And this woman he met was into what he was into. So they were happily married. What am I saying to you? You can make a choice and say, this man is my husband. But that's not necessarily so. This is why that we have to wait on our mate. Because some people, God have you to be single, not to have a mate. There are eunuchs in the Bible. And I guess some men say, how in the world is that? Because it's God and it's not you. So when you enter into a marriage, you can't wake up the next morning and say, oh, Lord, what have I done? So that's why you wait on the Lord for who your mate is, and you will make the right choice, and you will have a long life together, and you will know it's about God and not about what we want it to do.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 8907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042 Burgo, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.